We have cholent, right? Okay, since that's the topic of this year. Cooking and warming cholent on Shabbos. On Thursday night, it's pretty much up to you. But I do want to discuss this important, very holy topic for this holy food. As you know, in Parshas Vayakel, in the beginning, in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Gimel, we are told, Lo Sva'aru Eish, V'chol Mosh Boseichem B'yom HaShabbos. The specific malach of Havara, of kindling light, is mentioned, fire is mentioned in the Torah. As many of you may know, the Ramban here has a famous discussion, but really the Gemara, of course, points out already that what Havara is mentioned, even though we imply, we already know from the previous parshios, all 39 malachos. So if we have this limud from the Mishkan of all 39, so as they would say in Hebrew, ozeh, ozeh, either mention all of them or mention none of them. Why does the Torah Dafka mention lo sevaru? And the Gemara discusses that. The Gemara discusses what it may imply or what teach us. And the Ramban here, Al HaTorah, if you have a chance over Shabbos, you can take a look at this Ramban. He discusses what the Havam, you know, why you might have thought that Havara, well, because you need fire to cook, and Oneg is such an integral part of Shabbos, you might have thought that that's part of the spirit of Shabbos, that's therefore allowed, it's consistent. But be that as it may, since of all of the malachos of Shabbos, it's Havara and the connection to cooking, which is singled out, so I thought it would be kedai to focus on one of the myriad. As you know, there are literally books and hundreds of pages that are written on cooking and warming and things on Shabbos, but to specifically focus on the most spiritual of foods, that is cholent, which is of course soul food, and how nebuch, though, to create the soul food, you need to do something very, very physical, and that's called cooking or warming. So I wanted to discuss a little bit how one does that on Shabbos. Just to mention briefly, in the sense that there's two popular ways to cook cholent. One is in a pot on the stovetop, and one is in a crock pot. Most of the shiur will be about the issues related to crockpots, but we'll start off just mentioning for those, and maybe there are others, some throwbacks, some hardcore old-timers, still making cholent in a pot on the fire. Okay, well, if you ever meet anybody, at least...
Put that in the oven.
In the oven is an interesting shaila. I actually didn't... it has its own halachos, not that different, although somewhat different than what we'll mention in terms of on the stovetop, but for that you'll have to email me. Just to mention... the following, just briefly, we'll discuss the stovetop, and then we'll try to get to the crockpots. So the Ramah in Siman Reish and Gimel, as he's understood by the Bir Halacha there, mentions what would be analogous for our case, and that is that if you have cholent fully cooked before Shabbos, but you want to keep it on the fire so that it's warm Shabbos morning for lunch, so technically speaking, you don't have to do anything. You just leave it there. I mean, culinarily, you got to figure out on what temperature to leave the fire so it doesn't dry out or burn. But otherwise, from a halachic perspective, midaraisa, mikradin, you don't need to do anything. It's fine. You can leave it mamish on top of the fire. However, the minog is, even though it's not needed, the minog is only to do so on a blech. And that is quoted lahalacha, even though it's probably not required mikradin, but that is the right thing to do. The Ramah mentions this. This is endorsed both for Sfaradin, the Kaf HaChaim quotes this. Moshe Feinstein and Sitz Eliezer more recently endorse this notion that even though it's already cooked, fully cooked, you should still have a blech, even though not required mikra din, you should still have a blech there. It's just worth noting, even though that is the predominant view, but just for your knowledge, especially if you find yourself in B'nai Brak, the Chazon Ish disagreed, and he disagreed in a classic Maman of Shach. He said, on the one hand, you don't need it at all, it's silly. And if you did, quote, need it, it wouldn't help. So without getting into the details, because this is not our topic per se, but just so you should know, and I've seen this certainly in many a home, they have the cholent, or for that matter, it could be any other food that was fully cooked before Shabbos, but they keep it on the blech. That is a mainstream approach, but it is not the approach, notably, of the Chazon Ish. So that is a very simple case. Simple case. Mamon Roshach, he held it's not needed, and if it was needed, it wouldn't help.
So they don't use
what they do, I don't know. They don't eat it. It's B'nai Brak. I had a Meshulach come to me tonight, and he's in B'nai Brak, and he said to me, that he opens up, his B'nai Brak is made up of two people. This is what he says to me, Yusha Kula Tzadikim, and the Chiloni. I don't know if that's true or not. I still don't know if the non-Chilonim are Yusha Kula Tzadikim. That was a pretty presumptuous thing, but I was in a rush to finish preparing the shear, so I didn't engage in too much conversation. Just tried to be generous with him. Anyway, so that's an easy case. However, there are many, at least as common, I think, tell me if I'm wrong, very common, maybe even more common, is when the cholent is not fully cooked. Cholent is not fully cooked before Shabbos. Again, what we just said was when it was fully cooked. Right now, so far we're not talking about partial or halves or thirds. Fully cooked or not. So, until now we spoke about fully cooked. But what if it's not that? What if it's uncooked? And here, uncooked could take some different forms. You're familiar perhaps with the notion of ma'achal ben drusai, which the Gemara has this term of all things. They were bandits and they were always on the run. So they needed to learn how to cook things as quickly as possible, and what was barely edible, they shoved it down and were on the run. Predominant view is that probably means it has to be halfway cooked, although there are some mekilim b'dieved if it's only one-third. So let's say it doesn't have to be fully cooked. But the question is, what if it's not halfway cooked, or at least not even a third cooked, right? It's an hour before Shabbos, and you realize, uh-oh, we didn't put the cholent on the fire. Right? This has happened. When the cholent was my responsibility, this happened all the time. Although we use crockpots, so we'll get to that. But it happens all the time. Since I became a rabbi, Friday, wouldn't you know it, Friday has become a busy day for me. Mamish, it's just, as we moved to Baltimore, for the first 7 years we were married, I made cholent. I was the only one who made cholent in the house. And then the second we moved to Baltimore, I haven't made cholent since. I would love to, but what could I do? So, no, so, point is, so let's say you remember, first of all, so not, whether it's on the oven or a crockpot, it's a good question to try to figure out how many. First, you need to know how many hours it needs to be cooked. I'm talking about fully cooked. You know, because it doesn't have, presumably it doesn't take until Shabbos lunch.
In that situation.
Yeah. How big it is, the fire strength. Yeah, of course. So whatever that number is, simple math. So then, if that's, let's say it's 8 hours. So then, if it's 8 hours, then it has to have been on the fire before more than 4 hours before Shabbos, ideally, or at least more than a third of that before Shabbos. So let's assume that you don't, so that if you do that, then you're in category one, put on a blech anyway. But what about if you have a problem? What if it's not going to be that? It's only an hour before Shabbos, only 2 hours before Shabbos. Well, it's only 4 hours, but even four maybe is not enough, like in theoretical cases. So what do you do then? What do you do then? So then Rav Moshe has a tshuva, same tshuva, and the Deborah Siner, the Be'er Moshe, and other. So they hold that if it's not a half-cooked or even a third-cooked, then there is a chiv for a blech. That's not just a minog. Then there is a chiv for a blech. What is the role of the blech? So the purpose of the blech in that case is what's called grufa ketuma. We're scared, if something is really not ready before Shabbos, we're scared that you might be tempted in the olden days to stoke the coals to hasten the heating, cooking process, I should say. So grufa would mean literally to either remove the coals, put in fresh ones, or even just to stoke them, to mish them around a little bit. Stoke and mish are synonyms in English. So you mish it around a little bit, and that would hopefully, you know, rekindle and hasten them up. And Ramosha and others point out that even though we don't use coals anymore, obviously, for cooking, but that is considered halachically synonymous with whatever the heating element is. And this is where I'll mention, I'll repeat it probably one more time in the shir, but I'll mention now, it's in this context that you have the very, I would say the stakes aren't so high, but it's a well-known, very practical and relevant machlokes, which has many of the, what is considered, what is needed for grufa ketuma in a modern kitchen. So Rav Moshe and many others hold that mikra adin, that means the actual heating elements. So it's the coils, it's the gas range, whatever it is, that you have to cover. Rav Moshe does not require you to cover the knobs, but he seems to, that you will recommend it. He does not require it. Rav Aaron Cutler, I believe, is quoted by Rabbi Eider and in other sources of requiring it. I always thought, and I'm still more or less under the impression that it was an addition, although I saw at least one citation in a secondary source of Aaron Cutler saying maybe only the knobs. I'm not sure that has to, we have to move from Yerach Kodesh number one, Bnei Brak, Yerach Kodesh number two, Lakewood, to find out from someone who would know better. I'm not sure, but I'm still more or less under the assumption that it was in addition that he held you have to cover the knobs. And again, if you walk into two kitchens on any given Shabbos, you may see both of those. Some places, huh? But that's not the heat itself. Yeah, that's not the heat. Group of two means to cover. No, but the question is why? Number, why do you say so? Because he held that you have to cover the source of the heat. Grufa Ketubah, you were covering. So Grufa Ketubah, just to point out, I think I missed this point. Maybe it's self-evident, but just to be clear. So given that they used to use, you're afraid. You asked, what's the purpose of the blessed Joey? So given that they were afraid, you would stoke the coals. So we cover them to prevent / remind us not to do that. So. I don't remember. I'm not sure. I don't remember that formulation, nor do I know why that would make sense. Why did that show that you're not interested? Or why is that even important, frankly? The main thing is that you shouldn't do it. Not whether it's important to you to do it or not. That's my... I don't want to get...
But covering it doesn't prevent you from doing it.
Nothing prevents you. I mean, it comes close to. It's supposed to...
Deter.
Deter, or, you know, yeah. Yeah, sometimes the black in other contexts has a different benefit, and that shouldn't be mechzek in mavashal. It should look, right, you don't cook on the thing. But this is something else. This is a different concern. So basically, just to review, if you're cooking on the stovetop, if it's more than a halfway cooked or better before Shabbos, that's ideal. The minhag is still to use a blech, but it's probably not required. But the minhag is to do it. And if it's less than that cooked, then ikra, then you're required to use a blech. What a blech means depends on your minhag. Either it's just over the burners, or maybe it's also with the silver foil or something on the knobs. Those are the two. Okay? That's simple, cholent in the pot, alter heim. So now let's fast forward. I didn't have a chance to Wikipedia crockpots. So I don't know, I didn't learn in one session in, or less the history of crockpots and how modern they are, but as far as I can remember, my mother and now our family, we make cholent in a crockpot. And the question is, what halakhic issues come up there? Yes?
Can I just add, Aviv Shavuot brings down, in fact, I'm adding from Harvard, that if it's totally raw...
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that. That, yeah, that's a fascinating out of popular, no longer popular kula.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So, in addition to general visual issues, and again, we're not talking about somebody actually, you know, turning on, and, you know, putting raw food, you know, on Shabbos, which would be bishul d'oraisa, right? That's not the common problem. The common problem that we have in our kitchens are actually midrabbanan, and they are involved with two things. One, which we won't mention, although I could have, but I don't think we would have time, which is hachzara, which is basically when you want to eat on Friday night. So you want to take it off the fire, but you want to be able to return it. There are all sorts of halachas about how you can do that. That applies again to anything, but commonly to cholent. I'm not going to discuss that, although that's relevant. But then there's something called shia. Shia, which we've already been alluding to. Shia was what we were already talking about, which is you have something on the fire and you want to leave it on. So even though you didn't do anything, I didn't put it on the fire, that's visual. But I left it on. And depending on the circumstances, even leaving it on could be a problem. That's what we alluded to. So you have a shia issue for a crock pot. You turned it on Friday afternoon. I'm leaving it on over Shabbos. That's a potential shia problem. We have to see how you resolve that. But I want to do that secondarily, because what I want to do first is the unique problem of crock pots, which is unique from the question of the pot on top of the stove, and that is what's known as hatmana. Hatmana means basically insulating. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, and Daf Lamed Daled, and throughout, there's a parak called Bematonin, that, without getting into all of the details, it's complicated, that's why there's a parak named after it, there's certain chumras, if you're being mosif hevel, you're increasing heat. In other words, if you keep it insulated, it's going to get hotter, which I think is certainly the tantamount to what we would have in a crock pot. It's not just staying the same. It's, at some point it might, but the point is, the purpose of a crock pot is to make things hotter. Right? If you put it in, it gets starts off cold, and then it gets hot. Right? That's not staying status quo, that's heating something up. And then there's a secondary, another type of hot mono, which is a little bit more makil, which is where it's not most of hevel, meaning you put it in at 100 degrees, to take a simple example, and the point is, if you insulate it with olive, whatever, you know, the remains or the different things that Gemara talks about, it will keep it as hot as it was. And if you, the cases that are most of Hevel, so you're not even allowed to do that before Shabbos. That's the Chumrah, and that's where this is relevant to us. Something that will increase the heat, even if only subtly or gradually, that is prohibited even before Shabbos. Now, Hatmana, in a classical sense, is covering something entirely. So if we were to stop there, perfect. There's no crock pot that covers anything entirely. We should be okay. But it's not that simple, because we have what's known in the poskim as partial hatmana. And that is that our crock pots have a heating element insulating or surrounding our food insert on three sides, basically. or if you want to count the bottom, which I don't know if that's heated or not.
No, it's not.
Okay, but okay, so let's so we'll call it the three sides, even though it's maybe round. But what we don't have is anything on top. You don't have anything on top. So the question is, even though that's not classical hatmana, it's a, what we'll call partial hatmana, what is the status of partial hatmana?
And what bit is partial?
It's already well before Krakbatz. Well before, we'll mention it, so Machlokas and Rishonim. So, and in fact, the Machlokas and Rishonim results in a Machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Simen Reish Nun Gimel, the Machaber is Machmir. Machaber is machmer, he paskins like those Rishonim who hold that it's always usher to place a pot, even on Friday, in the burning hot coals, something that's going to be a hot mana. And the only thing that is permitted is to put it on top of the coals. So if you would have a type of a crock pot in which the heating element is just a bottom, and then you put something on top, like a casserole type dish, on top of, instead of just a trivet, which is just, you know, cold, but something heating, so says the Machaber, that's pasha that that's mutter. Pasha that's mutter, right? Because it's not a hatmana, it's just the bottom. That the Machaber says that's okay. But, Reish Nun, 253, says that's a problem. But if you have it on the three sides, just not on top, that's partial. But partial hatmana is also usur. And in fact,
what's the three sides?
I'm using the number three. I don't know why in my mind I usually think of four, so this is three. Around. It's surrounded with heat, and it doesn't have on top.
The lid does not count.
There's no heating element on top, or you know, insulating element, I should say, if you want to call it.
Well, the bottom counts because it's insulating. It may not be heat.
It's irrelevant. It's completely surrounded. It does not have on top, and we could quibble another time about what the status of the bottom is. The main point, which potentially could be out there, is that it's not on top. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't care. Shulchan Aruch thinks that as long as it is significantly insulated, and I think our crockpots would count, he holds, even though it's partial, it is partial, in a Hanami. But that's still usur, and in fact, the Chazon Ish passes that way. However, the Ramah is mekil, it seems, in the case of partial hatmana, as long as there is enough of an opening for air to escape. Now, we'll have to see exactly what that means, but at least we have potential now. We have what to work with. Ramah seems to be mekil. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah seems to paskin, Menag Ashkenazim, like this Ramah. It is worth noting, I don't know if everyone holds this way, but one of the classical posts in the Shabbos is known as the Sefer Shvitas HaShabbos. He's Madaik from the Lashon of the Ramah that maybe this is only Bidyevet. I'm not sure everyone holds that way, but he is Madaik that maybe this is not ideal. But the bottom line is the Ramah definitely has a Heter. So once we're in the world, so if we're in the world of the Sfardim, I don't know exactly, practically speaking, the Maisa, what Sfardim do, because this is a major chumrah of the, maybe they don't use crockpots, I'm guessing, because this, I don't see how you could do it, according to the Mechaber. According to Ramah, we have a potential. Ramah says if there's some opening for air, that's okay. However, how to understand the Ramah, even in this lenient position, is in the Ramah there is a major, major machlokes. There's a huge chumrah of the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim, which everyone talks about, is actually in Simeration Nun Tes, Seif Gimel. He's describing a case from a Taz. The Taz is talking about a bottle. It's like a baby bottle, right? So people think that, oh, it's cold. I'll take some boiling water, and I'll dunk the bottle in the boiling water. Taz says that that's usur because of hatmana. You're taking, and it's most of hevel, right? So that's the whole point. Why else are you doing it? Right, you have the milk at one temperature, the bottled milk, and you want to raise the temperature. And you're putting it, I wouldn't call it, yeah, cooking it, not the right stuff, of course not. No, I don't think so. It was, first of all, it's already cooked, right? Milk, I assume, pasteurization, etc. But it's, you're warming it up, and you're doing it in the form, how you're warming it up, you're surrounding it. So the Taz says that that is a problem. So the question is, what was the case of the Taz? So in Prima Gadim, I have to say, I think it's a pretty logical case. Prima Gadim says, what's the case? If you put a bottle in, does the whole thing get submerged? What's the nature of putting something like that in water? Right, the top floats, right? The bottom is, or part of it is underwater, and that will hopefully heat it. So says the Prima Gadim, if you see, according to the Taz, and the Taz is within the Ramah, he's not holding on to the Machaber. He seems to say that even if the only thing that is above, in this case, the water, or the insulating property, is the top, according to the Ramah, that's not enough. Even the Ramah's Kula, it's not going to be that makel. So what was, if that's not, you know, what was the Rambam talking about? Well, the Prima Gaon says this is that it was just talking about the upper part. In other, and I'm not sure where he would draw the line, but again, if you imagine just for the sake of being something being easy, you know, four walls of something and it being straight, so at some point, you know, Lamaisha likes to, like the mezuzah, right? We divide the wall into the thirds. I'm not sure. I'm sorry for not being more precise. Let's, for argument's sake, say, well, as long as the top third is not uncovered, is uncovered, maybe that's okay. But if you're going to have it all the way up to the top, it's just that there's no lid, that he thinks is not enough. So that's a huge chumrah. It's a very severe limitation of the kula of the Ramah. And that is the Prima Gaon's understanding of the Ramah. However, many, many poskim are more makel, thankfully, including the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah and others argue on the Ramah's understanding, argue on this understanding of the Taz. They say that, no, the Taz was referring to a case where the bottle was fully submerged. And that's, okay, so that's fully submerged. That's called, you know, even the Ramah holds, that's Asr. But if the top is a little bit above, so that's partial Atmana. Maybe the Mechaber would hold it's Asr, but you hold like the Ramah, and that is Mutter. I wasn't consciously assuming that either way. I don't know if that necessarily matters. It may be on a practical level, if it's not that hot, it's not going to have the effect of well, be warming something, but I don't know if that matters per se in a technical sense.
It's not visual, not midaraisa, right.
There is another makor which is irrelevant. The Prima Gaon quotes as a raya. There's a discussion in the Mishnah there in Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, which talks about a pot that was covered not with olive whatever or hot water, but was covered with wool. And it sounds like it's before Shabbos. And the way the Rashba understands this Mishnah, it's a case where the lid was uncovered, right? Exactly like our case. There's no wool on top of it. The lid, that part is uncovered. And the way the Mishnah describes the case, that was mutter to do before Shabbos. But the deal that the Rashba makes is, but to do that on Shabbos is usher. So that sounds like, and the Prima Gaon says, is there proof for me? On Shabbos, surrounding something on all the sides, but leaving the top uncovered, that's partial atmana, and the Rashba says it's usher. Now you could be dochev this raya on two ways. One is you could say, well, okay, but maybe the Mechaber goes like that.
But doing it on Shabbos or doing it before Shabbos? No. Leaving it?
Well, certainly it's worst on Shabbos, but the point is it's still usher even before. It's usher even before. It's usher even before, according to this Rebbe. That's how the Rashba understands the Mishnah. That to do something like this, even though you're leaving it with a little bit uncovered, that's how he understands it. And the Prima Gaon says, that's our case. That's partial atmana. You're insulating on all other sides, you're leaving the top uncovered. But partial atmana, at least if you have all the walls covered, just with the top, that's not partial enough. So the Prima Gaon says, oh, that's a raya for me. So most posts, though, are not so ayayay about this, because the truth is that there's other Rishonim who understand that Mishnah. The Ran understands that Mishnah, again, reminiscent of the first discussion. He has a Ukimta. He says, no, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah was talking about where it was fully covered, not just partially covered with a lid on top. So they get into Machlokas about how to read that Mishnah. That's to pick you. That's not. We're not going to get bogged down in that detail tonight. But the point is, there's another battlefront. I just want to let you know, there's another battlefront where the Prima Gaon and the Mishnah Berurah, so to speak, are battling. May even go back to a Machlokas Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ran, and others. Again, this issue of partial hatmana. So bottom line, how do we paskin? So it is a machlokes. However, it's worth noting that even before the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and the Mishnah Berurah are all makel, like the more lenient or expansive understanding of the Ramah. Namely, that partial atmana, that heter of the Ramah, even applies when the only thing that's uncovered or not insulated is the top. Even though the walls are fully covered, but as long as you leave the top open, according to them, that seems to be enough. So, based on this, we have some good operating room for our crockpots. Furthermore, perhaps if we wanted to bolster a lenient approach to our crockpots, we could also mention that there's a shita of the Rush. The Rush has a very interesting svara. The Rush says that the whole Isra Hatmana only applies if you cooked it in place A. Now you finish cooking it, and you put it in place B or surrounded with heating source B to keep it warm, to insulate it. But if the hatamana is happening in the same place, and in our case, from the same source as what cooked it to begin with, that's not hatmana, because you didn't put it there, kavanas hatmana. You put it there to cook. Because of the nature of the chachma of this cooking device, it can keep it warm without burning it. But you didn't put it there to insulate it, you put it there to cook. And it was finished cooking before Shabbos, so you have no problem. Now that's a very interesting svara of the Rosh, and if we would accept that Rosh, that would be another great kula for us in a crock pot. The only problem is that it seems like most other Rishonim don't accept that Rosh, and in fact the Ramah seems to paskin against that Rosh. So if we were looking for a sneef of Lahakel, the Rosh is a good person, but probably not going to rely on it entirely. Now there's one final issue to mention when it comes to the relevance of Hatmana, and this is, I think, really the money issue. And that is this really Hatmana at all? After all, it's not necessarily, well, let me put it, I should say it's not. It forces us to step back and ask the question, how compact, how tight, how adhering does the insulating heat source need to be with our food? In the cases of the Gemara, and some in the normal cases, it's mamish mished up against the food, or up against the pot, let's say, up against the pot. So is that, if that's true, that would be, so the question is that the standard? And the question is, what is the reality of our crock pots, right? They don't fit like a glove, right? There is a little bit of space in between the heating element, right, the metal part, where it gets hot, and that earthenware food insert. So the question is that little bit of space enough? If I have something 5 inches away from the heating source, is that called hatmana? If I have it 7 inches, what if it's only 1 inch away? What if it's a centimeter away? How close does it have to be for us to get into hot water, so to speak, a problem? So this is not discussed by the Gemara explicitly, and you don't even have like a overtly conscious decision discussion by Poskim or Rishonim, you know, asking the question the way I'm giving you thought out answers in a systematic way. But if you're Madaic in the language of Rishonim or Poskim, there's at least three or four different formulations. It's hard to know what to make of him. There's at least three or four different formulations. So, for example, it's going from Machmir Lemekil, the Rosh, and not surprisingly his son following him, the Tur following, they have a Lashon that you need Avir Harbei. If there's Avir Harbei, I don't know what Harbei means, but if there's a great distance, a big amount of air that can fit in between the pot and the insulating source, so the fact that it still could get somewhat warm, but that's not called insulating. That's too distant to be a problem. But that's Harbei. The Tosfos just says Avir. No, nothing modifying. No adjective. Just Avir. Ask me if there's air, there's a space in between the two, is okay. The Sharet Zion, footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, Kitsas Avir. Ooh, now that sounds even better. All along, this is just a little bit of space. Kitsas Avir is enough. And the Shachar Harav and the Magen Avram are the most makel, and they basically say it's only usur if the walls are mamish aduk. It's mamish touching the insulating source, the heating element. But if there's even kihuzah, any break, then it's okay. So in light of all this, if we were to use this is our most fruitful avenue. But because if we would apply this, then there is no hatmana. By definition, hatmana means it's X. We don't have X, we only have Y. This is the best place. The problem is, if we don't have this, then at best we'll be relying on a machlokas rishonim. In other words, even if you take the most lenient view of the Ramah is still paskening in a machlokas rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch is against. Which you could say, okay, we live with that all the time, but we don't want to have to rely on that. This is our best avenue, because this would say definitionally hatmana doesn't apply. And in fact, I'm not sure I don't know exactly the history of crockpots, but it wasn't that long ago that this was really first thought of, and some of the modern poskim started discussing it. And there were some who really thought that this is a great basis to be nakil. In fact, both Rav Scheinberg, who I think has a little bit of a lenient streak, or at least he's not scared away by kulas, Rav Scheinberg is makel. Rav Scheinberg holds that our modern day crockpots are not hatmana, definitionally, because it's not insulating close enough. Furthermore, perhaps someone who may be even more striking, because he does seem to incline sometimes more towards Chumrah, Rav Wozner in Bnei Brak, the Shevet HaLevi, is Mekil. He holds there's no Hatmana problem, period. It's not Hatmana. Nevertheless, the two more even prominent poskim in Eretz Yisrael of last generation do and did think it's a problem. Rav Eliashiv is quoted as thinking this is a Hatmana issue, and perhaps even more consequently, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt it was a problem. Shlomo Zalman, it was a later, mamash toward the end of his life, this tshuva came out. It's in different places. One place is in the journal Moriah. I think that might have been the first place it was published. I think it's been reproduced in other locations. Rav Shlomo Zalman raised this issue of the air in between. And without getting into all details, and the longest argumentation, bottom line is, he held that whatever the standard one would use, our crockpots do not meet that, or they do meet it for being a hatmana problem. There's not enough space in order to get out of the problem. So if you just have a regular crockpot, so again, you could rely on the fact that there's a Ramah who says partial hatmana, which this is, only partial because there's not no heating insulation on top. You could say that the Ramah says it's Meko, and you could say that there's a Mishnah Berurah's understanding of the Ramah, which definitely applies here. You could rely on that. But Shlomo Zalman was not thrilled. First of all, maybe the Ramah is wrong, maybe the Shulchan Aruch and those Rishonim are right. And even within the Ramah, the Prima Gadim holds a very restrictive and narrow view of the Ramah, which would also be a problem for ours. So with all of that, given that he thinks that we are dealing with a real proper Hatmana problem, he was concerned. And in separate publications, both he and Rav Eliashiv, basically, though, they gave you the Makkah, but they also, I don't know about beforehand, but at least they did give you a Trufa at the same time, and a very simple one. Different examples, but the same principle. And that is, if the whole fear of Hatmana, where you then have to worry about this Machlokas Rishonim in a poskim, which we don't want to get into, is because the heating element is too close, however that's defined, to the food insert, so just figure out a way to make it not so close. So I think of Shlomo Zalman, I think his original suggestion was putting like a can or something on the bottom of the crock pot. That seems a little bit, it's hard for me to envision how that could still cook. But Rav Eliashiv is quoted as saying something more simple. Put rocks. I think maybe he says, or I can't remember who says what. I heard this from, I think Rabbi Willie tells people, again along these veins, you can either take rocks, which is what I do. I have rocks. If anyone wants to come to my house, I'll show you. I have rocks.
Where do you put them?
On the bottom of the metal, and then I put the, you know, the crock, the earthenware part where the food is, on top of that. And it does, yes. Well, I my chol is not raw. My chol is not raw.
The size,
I haven't gotten to the size yet. The size are not a hatmana issue, per se. We'll get to the issue of the size in a second. We have some time left. But again, as long as Rav Shlomo Zalman or Valyashev, they both are talking about this concept. So some suggest taking some suggest taking silver foil, aluminum foil, and crumpling it up into balls. But it's all the same thing. It sits in half one dozen of the other. It's all accomplishing the same thing. If you want to put your children's toys in it, it goes on, it'll probably melt. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just a means to an end. And the desired end is that, according to these post games, you don't want there to be such a close fit. That's a separate issue. That's not going to help for Admana, no. That we may require that. We didn't get that yet. But that, if that would not help Frasmana, that would not help Frasmana, because it's too thin. It doesn't. If you think there's a problem to begin with to be choshesh for, that, you know, millas whatever of the width of the aluminum foil is not going to be sufficient. So the practical, very easy solution. Again, if you don't want to do or you haven't done any of that, you're okay. You have Rav Scheinberg and you have Rav Wozner and probably many others to rely on. But okay, if that's how you want to go. Again, it's also very easy to be machmir, though. Very easy to be machmir. Whoa, they're fighting words going across the bow here. Okay. Remember, we're all friends. So that's number one. As I say, I'm not necessarily demanding it, so to speak, but I'm, you know, for whatever it's worth, that is what I do. I'm koshish for the skumra. I use rocks, as I said, but if you had something else that would be just as effective, gigazoon.
The first generation of crock pots, you actually could not remove the insert.
Right, but that's actually...
That would have been a problem.
No, that's better. That's not hatmana. That's one piece. A one-piece crock pot is not a crock pot.
No, it was a ceramic, but it didn't come out.
Good, so that... So what? So what? That's fine. That's better. That's not hatmana. That is... That might as well be, keeping it on the fire. I think. A one piece, I think, is better. Right. Yeah, I think maybe it's better. I'm not sure, but I think it's a different shayla. Again, because that's, I don't know if that's called hatmana. That's called cooking. Or then if you've cooked it before Shabbos, so then, yeah.
There's a different type of crock pot. It's probably going to be a problem at all.
The bottom is the bottom. Yes, that's fine. That's 100% fine. Yes. Yes, that's 100% mutter. That even the machaber would hold up. Maybe that, and maybe that's the svarim use. I'm not sure.
Right, no difference in that than putting on a black.
Correct. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Okay. So in the 7 minutes that we have left, so I want to discuss the other issue. The other issue. So that was unique to crockpots. However, we still have to get to our shihiyah problem because, as we said, in the light, in the you know, in the life and times of the Gottlieb family. When David Gottlieb used to make the children, very often we were running late and didn't have it fully or even maybe a half cooked before Shabbos. So then you run into a Shia problem. And that, l'chora, is true whether you mali a pot, mali a crock pot. If you have something staying on the fire from before Shabbos, potentially that you run into Shihiyah problems. So we discussed the Hadmana issue first because that's unique to the crock pots. But the issue of Shihiyah potentially is an issue no matter what. Now, it's in this context that I will mention, I think that it's, I don't know how widely it's advocated, but since it was mentioned, then maybe you will put a name, Mickey, to someone who did advocate it. I have seen this quoted as a Yeshu Amrim, I think, in an art scroll book about 10 years ago, and just recently I saw that Rav Henkin, was quoted as saying this as well, and that is that it's counterintuitive, but sharp nonetheless. Remember, what's the problem with Shihiyah? You asked before, Jovi. The answer was, we're worried that because it wasn't so cooked before Shabbos, you're going to be nervous and it's not going to be cooked in time for the meal and you're going to mish it around and try to make it cook faster. So therefore we cover it. So the point, that there is a heter that's quoted in the poskim that says, well, that's only if there's a realistic chance. If I'm mishing it around, how much quicker are you going to get it? An hour, you're going to save off the time. But if it's raw, so if it was only a fifth cooked, so by mishing it around, maybe I can get myself to compensate. But if it's raw, come on, what's the point? You know, either it's going to be ready or it's not going to be ready. But it's so far removed that me mishing, I don't have to worry about anyone doing it. And therefore, davka, kinera chaisa, putting in something raw, may even be better. Now, for whatever variety of reasons, in general, as a kind of catch-all to avoid all shihiyah problems, just put it, you know, who's worried on Thursday night? Don't cook before Thursday night. Don't even cook Friday morning, Friday afternoon. Just put all of your food on the oven a second before Shabbos. So I could be wrong. Maybe, you know, I don't know of any person who advocate that. On the contrary, even Rav Henkin was very against that in general, except for Rav Henkin, I believe, said the one exception is crockpots. Crockpots.
Because if you put bones or meat,
raw meat, yes.
Or bones.
Right. But I don't even know. But that doesn't have to be for. I didn't hear about the bones. But the Gemara's term, the Yerchad, is a raw piece of meat. So whether it's, I don't know if it has to be limited to cholent. If you had some other meat dish, the point is that there are some poskim.
I think that they split hairs. Certain meat cook quickly. So bones, adopted.
Okay, I don't know. This I don't know. That part I'm not sure about. But just as I say, I saw it from a Penkin today, and I remember years ago. I think maybe in Simcha Bunim Kohen, some of the arts books, maybe it was either some one of the English books. Remember, quoted, not necessarily Avi, but this is the H. Omerim, that ironically that might be better. And in fact, there were times that I relied on that. There were times that I remembered, like 2 hours before Shabbos, and I said, then I'm getting into the halakhic twilight zone. Adarabba, right before I go to shul, I'll turn on the oven. Right? Because I have all my raw meat, if what's chillin' without meat. So I have all my raw meat sitting on top. And I did rely on that. So that's not l'chachila again. I'm not sure. Maybe there are rabbanim here, or you know, poskim who are more pro it. I'm more hesitant, but as a fallback, that would be a way to avoid shihiyah. It's almost ironic, but that is something that is quoted by poskim. If you're not going to rely on that, or you don't want to have to rely on that, so what do you do? So perhaps a model, another thing which may help us, which may say that there's no reason for it, and why a crockpot may be unique and not be a shihiyah problem. Again, our premise was, why should a crockpot be any better than a regular pot for shihiyah? So the answer is, enechanami, maybe it's not any better, but you have your raw meat trick. However, there are some poskim who advocated saying maybe a crockpot is actually better. Why? So let's ask a different question. If anyone uses a hot plate, let's assume for argument's sake you use a non-adjustable hot plate, which is by far the better kind. Do you put some of a blech on top of that? No, you're not required. You're not required. I don't think anyone assumes. We certainly don't generally assume you have to put a blech on a hot plate, on a warmer. Why not? So Shmir Shabbos Kilchaza discusses this, and he quotes from, among others, of T. Pesach Frank, the Haaretz Tzvi. And he points out, what's the svar he uses? Because you only need that when the pot or the food is going directly on the heating source. But in the hot plate, it's underneath whatever, I don't know, whatever that material is. It's ironically, it's insulated. The heat is underneath whatever that.
I think the
show is covered. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's insulated. The heating element is covered. It's not on top of the fire itself. It's underneath. So if that's the Svara, so perhaps, and if I'm not mistaken, I think this is part of Rav Scheinberg's general heter. Again, he wasn't aware of Hatmana. And Rav Scheinberg is also not worried about a Shehiya problem, because he says, so too here, the porcelain insert where you have your food is covering the metal heat. Again, the heat is so strong that it goes through. But the actual heating element is not directly.
I thought he said the wall of the crock.
Whatever's inside, because whatever's inside. Well, obviously, there's something inside of that that's heating.
Yeah, but it's just
wire.
Right, exactly. But that's being held, yes. Exactly. Right. Oh, obviously, I wasn't clear. Yes, thank you. Yes, that's what I meant. Yes, that's what I meant. So that is Rav Scheinberg's hat there as well. However, there are those who are not willing to rely on that. For the simple reason that if you take a look at those poskim, whether it's the Shmur Shabbos Golchazo or, for that matter, even earlier, the Rosh Pesach Frank, they point out that it's not so poshut with the hot plate. That is not the heter in and of itself for the hot plate. That is in a context. The context is something more fundamental. That is ein derech bishul bekach. You don't cook with a hot plate. You don't cook with a hot plate. So there's no mechzeik mevashel problem. There's lots of other benefits to a hot plate, which, and that's especially a non-adjustable hot plate, which I advocate using in general for your kogel and for everything. It's by far the most lenient thing. But
that's not true with the crock pot.
Oh, exactly. But even though Scheinberg was okay with it, many say that's too big of a kula, because it is derech bishul bekach. I just cooked with it. A hot plate is a warmer by definition. Crockpot you use to cook. So it's not so clear that you could just rely on that. So if we don't rely on the raw meat, and we don't rely on Rav Scheinberg, so what are we left with? Well, we're left with what I believe Rav Moshe and many others have advocated, which is that, well, just like any other shihiyah is solvable by using a blech, so too you have to use a blech when it comes to the crockpot. And here's where you have, you know, the classical confusion, which is that in our minds, we've been in our mother's milk, a crockpot means, you know, a piece of hard metal. So how am I going to get a blech into a crockpot? It's impossible. The answer is that's just a misconception. A blech means anything that's covering the fire. And it doesn't have to be any level of thickness per se. It's covering the fire. And therefore, for Moshe and others assume, silver or aluminum foil also could be a blech. And therefore, they advocate putting a thing of silver foil around the inside of the heating element, the metal or aluminum, whatever material that is, of the crock pot. Then, if you'll be like me, you'll put your rocks in. I think so. I think that's what he's quoted as saying. I think so. Again, it's Lashitaso. Lashitaso, he held you have to cover for Shehiyah, you have to cover the heating element.
You have to cover the heating element, but you crack up the heating element automatically
covered. Oh, you think he relied on that? I thought he didn't. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he required this. Certainly many posts can do. Many posts can do require this aluminum foil. Okay, if you could, happy to guess something cool. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Please bring that to my attention. If you can, you know, I'm happy to be corrected. Mali or Moshe, maybe somebody else. That is a mainstream chumrah. I don't know. I thought it was Rav Moshe. If you can show me that I'm wrong, I would be happy to see it. To have this kind of a silver foil, and just to add, l'shitaso. And if you hold like Ravaran Cutler when it comes to your oven, you're going to hold like him when it comes to your crock pot too. Then you're going to use a silver foil not only over the heating element, but also over the knob as well. So in sum, I didn't get to the issue of taking children, you know, for Kiddush and putting it back for lunch, or taking it on Friday night. We did not get to the issue of Hakzara. We also didn't get to the issue of Hagasa, the fact that if you keep it in the fire, just take off the lid and scoop out, or stir around, you could have a different problem. I didn't get only so much we could cover.
You think putting it back would be different than a pot?
No, but I didn't discuss that at all. I didn't discuss the whole issue of Hakzara, what I'm saying. More or less. Just how you do it is different.
The real old school is really cooking the chomp in the oven.
Okay. I'm not that old school. You may not have noticed. I'm actually youthful.
I'm working on that. The
and since I grew the beard, it's more evident. There's a lot of white hair here.
Then you would have to cover. You would have to put tinfoil or something in the oven.
There's a discussion. I'm not. It's a bigger discussion I'm prepared to get into at 11:02. But yes, it is. If you cook your chumps in the oven, I didn't help you yet. Okay. A good Shabbos. Programming notes. We are off till after Pesach.